The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for football season.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
On Moneyline.
Show's hot.
The show is hot.
With your hosts, Donnie Wrightside.
13-10 because you can't move the football. And all of a sudden, like, well, hold on. How about if we put athletes on offense and spread it out? Oh, look at that. Track meets in the SEC now.
And Kevin Walsh.
I mean, Donnie, man, I don't know. 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions is on the board for this guy. Who else is doing that? Who else is nobody? Nobody's doing that.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network. SiriusXM Channel 159.
Oh, and away we go. New week, new money. NFL week one is still underway. Why? Because we got a monster tilt tonight in the Meadowlands, the Buffalo Bills, and the New York Jets. This is Moneyline, the best hour of your day. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, ready to pop off. K-Dub, how we feeling today?
Yeah, look, Daniel Jones is terrible. We were right. We told you this all off season long. People said that we were being unfair. We were being harsh. And Brian Dable kept him out there under the fourth quarter in the pouring rain with backups, praying to God that this guy could find the end zone, and he couldn't. You can blame the whole thing on the offensive line if you want. You can blame it on pass catchers. This guy had 100 yards in the middle of the fourth quarter of the game. Two interceptions, no touchdowns. He's a glorified running back at this point. How are you feeling, Donnie? I'm excited to be here on a Monday.
Yes, me too, because I echo that sentiment, because I yesterday told the people out there, you know what? I'm going to get competency tonight. I might not get greatness from the Giants, but competency would be good enough to hang around and possibly win that football game. Boy, Kevin, I was laying in bed feeling real good about that first drive until bad snaps happened, block kicks happened, and it was apparent that the Giants were not prepared to play football, which blew me away, because you know that everybody else knows I really like Brian Dable. That was a gut punch from the Dable, you know, contingency yesterday. That was so ridiculously bad, because the point I brought up today, and I'm glad we're starting right off and getting hot takes on the Giants. It's one thing, Kevin, to have Dak Prescott go 25 of 35, 405, five touchdowns, no interceptions. You go, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Dallas just came in the Meadowlands and blew the doors off the New York Giants. What if I told you the Dallas Cowboys gained 265 yards in that game total, and they scored 40 points? But the best part about it is, okay, let's work out some kinks. We got some late touchdowns. You know, we moved the football. The Giants were putrid from start to finish and got wiped out in one of the most charged up Sunday night football games you're going to find, with Queen Latifah singing the national anthem, the flags out there representing for 9/11, and the Giants got smoked. I mean, I couldn't see this in a million years coming, Kevin. I didn't. I really didn't.
Look, do I think Dallas was the side? Yeah, my confidence level. I emphasize, hey, the importance of getting a flat three, right, Donnie? Because you worry about the hook. Yep. This wasn't where I thought the Dallas Cowboys would win this game by 20-plus points. But I got to say, Ed Kraak, who covers the Philadelphia Eagles, somebody who I've had on, we've had on Sports Grid here before. But look, and maybe it's some sour grapes. I don't hide from that. That Sirianni got, you know, bumped on that Coach of the Year run. And then Kyle Shanahan, despite having 17 quarterbacks play for him last year, didn't get it. But Brian Dable's miracle miracle of leading that team to 9 wins last year. And he said, some job by the coach of the year having his team ready. That's top to bottom. Yes, I started off with attacking Daniel Jones. But, if anything, that defense too, Donnie, is going to escape some of the heat. Because I know a lot of those points, 14 of them off turnovers and what have you. But, Donnie, for the love of God, they couldn't force a punt in that game hardly either. Maybe, okay, bend don't break, held to some field goals. Every single level, coaches, players, all sides of the ball, pathetic. Pathetic in that game.
You weren't even getting the top of the playbook from the Cowboys once that game was really out of whack early. They weren't showing you their great stuff. They were just running an offense here. And to see a 40-0 bashing where every single thing the Cowboys did, they did better than the Giants, which includes a filthy, nasty pass rush. And I even said, I don't really know how much I'm going to like the Giants, but Waller's going to go. I said, I've been telling people all week long I'm taking the Giants. I can't, back out the late week. Oh, you know what? Don't really like them anymore. And I did feel confident coming into that game going, you know what? There's a lot of pieces, because what I figured for the Giants was this was a better version of the Giants from last year, which, again, they play in a really tough division, which has the Eagles and the Cowboys in it. But I didn't expect, I expected this from just a bum team. For a team that played well and over its head last year, I said, you know what? Daniel Jones, who you know me, we both don't like Daniel Jones. But I said, come on now. He's never getting benched. And he basically didn't get benched yesterday. He left him out there. I mean, Tyrod Taylor threw 2 passes late in the game. But when we're looking overall, just all you were looking for the Giants was competency. Hey, they lose 24-17, 21-21, 28-27, whatever it would be. Okay, they give an honest effort. They look like one of those teams, Kevin, that didn't even practice in the offseason. Hey, we're here on opening night. Let's just see what we can do and have some fun. And boy, was it fun for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and now, look, that Giants team, Donnie, right, is behind, and it's not by a lot, but they're behind the Commanders in terms of odds to go out there and win the NFC East. We talk about, they just paid a franchise quarterback in New York, and they're picked to finish last in their division. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. And they can get right back on track here with a game against the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. But ask any Giants fan how they feel about the beginning of their season. Their schedule is brutal, Donnie. I mean, it's absolutely miserable.
Yeah, who even knows they'd be the Cardinals in the week 2 coming up? Is there a favorite on the road? But here's my feel. You said this point, right? Joe Burrow's contract, Lamar Jackson's contract, Justin Herbert's contract, Jalen Hurts' contract. The minute it was signed, beat writers weren't going oh, by the way, after 2 years, they can get out of this deal. The Giants beat writers all over that deal here. And it just gets back to the point. Now, there's a long football season. I do believe Dable's a good coach. We'll see if the Giants bounce back. And like we like to say, you're never as bad as you look week 1 heading into week 2, which is always such a tricky, tricky system. Sure. We'll see if the Giants get it over. But also, you saw the first drive. I was like, this is Giants football. Handed off to Saquon, short passes, Daniel Jones running for time. And it just exploded because they couldn't block Dallas's front 7. The Michael Parsons sack early in the game, me and my daughter were watching it, and he just blew through the line, and I said, he's really good. And she, come on, how much football does she know at 11? She's like, yeah, he looks really good. I'm like, yeah, she ain't.
Every time, though, it happens, I would say, a couple times a season with me, where they talk about how Michael Parsons might be the best edge rusher in football. And I go, I wasn't even an edge rusher coming out of college. I still can't believe. I don't, and maybe I need to go back and read the draft profiles, DRS, but I swear the idea was Micah Parsons was going to be playing middle linebacker for this football team.
Just a super athletic, the word they would use, sideline to sideline linebacker.
Yeah.
Ultimate, what? What if we try to just say, go after the quarterback, and he's an absolute savage out there, he's LT reincarnated. Because we always say, okay, easy to come into the league and just be a defensive end because, beat the fat offensive lineman and get a sack, right? Well, obviously, it's way harder than that. But, man, he makes it look so easy. And even if you're not getting to the quarterback, just worrying about where Micah Parsons is every single play is a trick. But, boy, the Giants, I'm telling you right now, the worlds will collide. If they go down to the Cardinals, who actually played very competent football at the Commanders on Sunday, that's going to be one to watch. But also, mind tricks. We're going to overreact to so many of those games today, and certainly later in the show. Actually, not even later in the show. We're going to get right into a little bit of Bills-Jets talk, because I was telling this morning, Ben, Kevin, this is, if you ask me one game, say, Donnie, take out the Eagles and opening night. Give me one game you can't miss this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the Jets and the Bills, 9-11, Monday Night Football in the Meadowlands. It is going to be awesome. I got bets fired in, which technically don't even make sense for the team that I actually like tonight. We'll get after it here. It's Kevin and Donnie on Moneyline on a Monday football afternoon on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Monday. Good stuff all the way around. Hey, guys, if you want to reach us, you know you always can. 844-843-687. I've been checking hashtag SG Moneyline. Boys been going back and forth trying to hand out wagers out there, keeping the people in the know. But we have so much to get through today, and a lot of it is going to be NFL. But before we do that, Kevin, let's just hit a nice little college football shot this weekend. Sitting back, I was mostly during the afternoon at my daughter's soccer game, but came back, thoroughly enjoyed the Miami-Texas A&M game. I mean, just when my boys are playing and it's fun and they're dropping close to 50 burgers and TVD is out there rocking, it's so much fun. It brings college football to another stage.
Right.
But then there's the Colorado Buffaloes, who again, look, don't mince words. They didn't play Alabama. They didn't play Georgia. They did play Nebraska. But again, the line swings from what we thought the Colorado Buffaloes were going to be to what we're getting now. Life is good in college football. And I even included this morning, Kevin, Notre Dame into this as well. When you have the teams that are lightning rods, a lot of people love him. A lot of people hate him. And then you throw into the mix Deion Sanders, who people dislike braggadocio all the time just because they're not used to hearing it. I love the fact that every time they win, it's personal against somebody else, which means if you were a Colorado Buffalo fan, you love it. And now if you're never really paying attention, now you might find it A, intriguing, or B, you don't like it, which means C, Kevin, you are watching their next game against Colorado State. Yes, you will.
Look, I will say, you know, disclaimer, I mean, this week three college football slate is abysmal. Like, Donnie, it's bad. But still, not only is game day.
So many teams in college football and we get bad weeks.
I don't know.
Illegal.
I don't know. But Donnie, so not only is game day going to Boulder.
Yes.
Fox doesn't even have the damn game, and they're keeping Big Noon Kickoff at Boulder. That's crazy. Donnie, has that ever happened before? Has Big Noon Kickoff and Game Day ever been in the same spot?
No, it's you. Whoever has the network usually gets it. And I don't even know if there's no legalities, obviously, towards it. You can do whatever you want. Because then it'd be like, hey, well, you can't be here for the championship game when every network is there. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of interesting where it's battling networks. One doesn't have it, one does. But it just goes to show you that you're just hoping that Deion comes by your set in the morning and that makes your show.
Right. And, like, he probably will, because why not, right? Like, it's, you know, the thing about Deion, because you can't, even if they lose or something like that, you can't turn it around. He can go on game day, okay, talk all his junk, and if they lose, you can't be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Well, he's been doing it the first 2 weeks of the season. This is who he is. It's what their program is. And I think this is kind of, you know, we talk about that game against Nebraska, Donnie, where it's like, are we overreacting? No. I just don't think people realize how wrong the odds makers were on Colorado. They beat the spread in week number one by 24 points, and they beat last week's spread by double digits once again. Like, the books are not even close, Donnie. Close on these Colorado numbers that they've hung so far through 2 weeks of football. Not close.
Yeah, Billy Kemp couldn't get it going there for Nebraska and continue the onslaught of offense. I was impressed. Like, Shador looks like he's a very, very good quarterback. And rightfully so. Yep. He's a highly recruited kid. He didn't just, you know, say, I'm Deion's son. Nobody looked at me. I went to an HBCU. Now look how good I am. He was always good. He was a great quarterback in high school all the way through. But the fact of the matter is, if they're going to be running that offense, and I thought the interesting part, too, is you get Sean Lewis from Kent State.
Who's
their head coach. He's now the offensive coordinator. They're running that flash-fast offense, which is so much fun and kids want to play in it. But that tells you the magnitude of when you think you're going to attach yourself to an absolute lottery ticket or a Division I head coach that's not even in peril of losing his job in Kent State goes, you know what? I'll take an OC job at a team that just went 1-11 over my own head coaching career. Pretty impressive.
Genuinely. Like, Sean Lewis is actually one of the more interesting names, right? Because I think, because you said he was already a coach at the at the FBS level, right? So this offseason comes around, he's going to be, you know, hot in circles, right? I don't think Deion leaves Colorado after 1 year. I wonder if Sean Lewis says to himself, yeah, look, I could go take this decent G5 job. Just going to assume that that's what gets offered. He says, you know what, man, I can become the offensive coordinator at one of the 15 biggest programs whenever they come calling for Deion. And he just sticks it out and rides with him. The same way that you know, Venables, Nani, stayed forever with Dabo at Clemson, and then he left. Why? Because the OU job came available, right? Yep. Exactly, Donnie. Where, you know, Sean Lewis might be rocking with Deion all the way up until the highest levels, which is great. That level of continuity and Deion being able to sell recruits on that offense specifically, my goodness, man.
Yeah, that's when you go out and recruit wide receivers and you go, well, he's the number one. Well, number one, we got five guys that are going to play 65 snaps in a game, and we're going to throw the ball relentlessly.
Yep.
That makes you like climb up and jump up and say, boy, I can really get involved in that. But I did want to talk some college football here because that was some interesting doings over the weekend, a couple interesting games. And again, I am a Miami Hurricanes fan, thoroughly enjoyed the Miami is now back. Now they just got to actually win some big games. But they played Bethune-Cookman this week, which is 3-0. They go. You know what I didn't know either? This is something I always knew growing up because it was in a Big East game. Miami playing Temple. Every other year they'd be up here. Franklin Field, Lincoln Financial Field, Vet Stadium. And I always caught Miami. Miami Hurricanes are in Philadelphia in 2 weeks, which really caught me off guard because I don't really schedule shop anymore for the Hurricanes, which I used to do. They got a Florida State game to go to. I went to a Marshall game a while back, a Clemson-Miami game where I actually lost in overtime with Frank Gore at running back when Charlie Whitehurst was the Clemson quarterback. So, I mean, I've been way back watching games and having a good time. But they're actually in Philadelphia. But the reason I'm bringing this up is Miami's going to be 4-0. And then also you take a look at Notre Dame rolling. 2 weeks, Ohio State. Like, there's big football on the horizon. And by the way, come on, man. Like, sometimes in the NFL, it's like, okay, every week we're going to pick good games and put them on, like, Sunday Night Football. Come on, college football. Like, you're going to leave these weeks up in the air. Like, no big deal, no big deal. There should be a scheduling committee that goes, you know what? We have to make sure we have a certain amount of ranked games each week, and they can make that happen.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Look, here's the deal. When you look through this slate, DRS, right? Now, the problem is, isn't with college football, though, like, all these things are, like, set, like, years in advance. Like, right now, you could probably pull up the 2030 Alabama schedule. Like, isn't that just how this nonsense goes? You've got like Tennessee, Florida. You've got, I mean, you know, Washington State, or Washington rather. Michigan State's more interesting, but for outside reasons, probably than anything. Like, I actually think, and you can tell me I'm crazy because the spread would say I am. I think Georgia, South Carolina is the most interesting game next week because it's at least a team with a pulse playing the Bulldogs, just to see what Georgia does to them.
Match them up. And everybody's saying Clemson's back, too, which I do agree with. So we're going to be on those Clemson Tigers as the season goes on. A big-time performance. I mean, that's when you want to see bounce back and facing adversity. I mean, they did that this weekend and rocking and rolling and ready to go. But in the NFL, Kevin, we'll set the table for this one. Monday Night Football tonight. Yeah. Buffalo Bills, Jets. And also, the thing I love about football is it continues to roll. Like, we'll have an awesome Monday night game today. You wake up on a Tuesday, you put, like, the Monday Night Football game to bed, week one to bed, and all of a sudden, you're getting right after it again on Thursday night. Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings from Philadelphia. And this is why we say it goes so, so fast. Because, honestly, this was the first Sunday in a long time where I was actually, because I usually used to do shows for, like, a decade or more in my house. They ended right at 1 o'clock. I go into the other room, I put my TV's on, and I'm there. This one was interesting because I was on the road, got home, picked up my pops for the game, came over, but by the time I got home, it was like maybe 2:15-ish, and I wasn't used to the NFL ticket on YouTube yet, so it took me a while to get underway. So I was quite a little baffled for about 15 minutes, getting kind of angry, but settled in, relaxed. The Eagles played, got something to eat, and it turned out well. But it's just, in my Sundays are very interesting now, and the thing I was fiddling around with, Kevin, on YouTube was like, if I don't get the hang of this, I'm going to go ballistic on Twitter right now. And I ended up getting the hang of it, thank God.
But my question to you, can you customize your quad box, or you can only go
you
off
cannot,
of their suggestions?
Yes, you can't yet, which means I had to scramble around, and I didn't pay for Red Zone because I have Red Zone with my cable package already, so I wasn't going to double down. So half the boxes were a Red Zone included, which I couldn't get. But yes, I've no idea. You should be able to have an Octo box, like DirecTV used to have, and put 8 games on one screen and rotate whatever games you want. The games did look good. They were easy to get around, but no idea why you can't pick your own games. That's kind of ridiculous at that point, but I'm sure they'll probably work that out. But a lot of fun overall, and we'll continue to talk about that. But more importantly, Monday Night Football coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Not the Giants. They don't. So tonight, we go back to the Meadowlands. Is it going to be another slaughter fest? Boy, I don't think so. And by the way, I'm just going to start this off. All offseason, I said Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Bills. So I'm playing this as I'm not backing out of that because I still think the Buffalo Bills are absolutely legitimate and live to win tonight. Why? They're actually favored tonight, people. They're not getting 7 points. You know, I like the Jets, I do. But my props, K-Dub, are coming from a Jets perspective tonight, even though I think the Bills win the game. As stupid as that might sound, when I just look at the numbers, I go, this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. Now, I did take Dalvin Cook on a straight wager. Tom Vecchio joins us this morning on the early line, but I already love this. It was 11.5, a reception prop for Dalvin Cook. We get on the show, Tom comes on. He actually, I'm not making any words with him. He goes, you know what? I'm looking for like Dalvin Cook to get a couple cheap dump down passes. When I go back to FanDuel while he's talking, it's 10.5 now. So I bet it. Dalvin Cook over 10.5 receiving yards, which to me is, if he catches two tonight, that's guaranteed 10.5 yards, which I think he's going to get. But here is my same game parlay, which I get a kick out of these. I lost it yesterday. First two in the ETN scored, I told you, I texted you right away. Like, furniture's moving down here because we got two in the door with my favorite one of the weekend. Saquon Barkley is going to get 20 touches, which he did, in a game where they were down four. Like, he couldn't walk in the end zone late in the game. That's just besides the point. But I lost that one. First two legs were in, I lost. So this one, gunning it back. I took Aaron Rodgers over 1.5 touchdown passes tonight. I took Dalvin Cook also over 10.5 receiving yards and almost a correlation, right? If Aaron Rodgers is throwing two touchdown passes, I'm thinking Garrett Wilson is getting one of those. That's plus $857. $100 wager pays back $957 with the boost. That's where I went tonight. Even though I still think the Bills win, I just think the actual numbers line up more for the players for my eye line on the Jets.
So that's interesting. So because like Dalvin Cook's receiving yards, I think that's separate of who you expect to win the game, right?
Yes.
Garrett Wilson catching a touchdown. At the end of the day, that looks like it'll be Rodgers' guy. I get it.
Yes.
But Rodgers' touchdown passes is more tempting to you than Josh Allen touchdown passes? Because I'm on Josh Allen over the 1.5 touchdown passes in this game. I can't believe the number.
Because of the correlation. That's the only reason why, if that makes sense. Because I do think Josh Allen has a solid night. But also, I've said, Donnie, why don't you just take Stephon Diggs? He's a rock star. I understand that. But Sauce Gardner is also a rock star. And I'm not saying at all that Sauce Gardner shows up tonight and just island locks up Stephon Diggs. That's not happening. But when I just see what I saw in the preseason, that's all we can really go off of. We don't have a backlog of Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. But when they get inside the 10-yard line, I just see, you know what? I'm going to isolate my guy. I'm going to throw him back shoulder fades in the end zone, and he's probably going to catch one of those. That's the only reason why. It had nothing to do with, I don't think Josh Allen can get two touchdowns. I actually think Josh Allen could lead the game in rushing, if that makes sense. But I just thought the Dalvin Cook number is ridiculous. That's one screen pass. That's two dump offs. He gets it. Now, he might not even catch a pass. Maybe somebody already told the boy, by the way, Dalvin Cook's not even in any passing on third down, so he's not even going to be seeing the football. Maybe so. But if I look at this game, I think Garrett Wilson scores, which means Aaron Rodgers has at least one touchdown, and I see them throwing the football in more than running it in for the Jets.
Look, I get it. The actual Jets bet that I made, because I put in a couple player props, I was thinking about going Rodgers' pass attempts over, Donnie, 32.5. A little bit narrative, a little bit the fact that I do like Buffalo in the game. Rodgers was over that.
Tonight.
Yeah, so Donnie, he was throwing. Over that right in 6 of 9 losses last year. So that was kind of one thought to me. The other thought, though, is basically what you're getting at. Rodgers isn't there to hand the ball off 100 times, is he?
No.
Like, are we going to get that old Rodgers play clock down to 5 seconds, hand it off to Breece Hall? Like, is that what we're going to get, or is he going to throw that football tonight?
Nope. Here's what you're going to get. The clock's going to run down because he's making eye contact with every wideout on a running play to throw the football. That's what he does more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. The entire line blocking, the running back thinks he's getting the football, and he goes, no. Me and this wide receiver on the same page out here. Whoop, 8-yard slant pass. Whoop, 7-yard slant pass, touchdown pass. That's what he does tonight. Like, I'm feeling confident. The only thing I'm worried about is a lot of what we saw on the East Coast yesterday, that we didn't really play up too much because it was only like chances of rain, but every single game felt like on the East Coast, it was impacted by rain up and down, which we might get tonight. 60% chance of rain, but if it doesn't, are you going under 45 and a half tonight or 45 with those two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm not going to play this total. I actually think you play it live because I think the weather clears as the game goes on. At least that's what I saw. You would know better than me in terms of those weather expectations. But, I mean, did you see, by the way, not to derail, but I don't know if I've ever seen, like, guys look wetter than they looked last night in Cowboys Giants. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, they were soaked out there on that.
Sliding.
Yeah.
You saw it right away, too, with the the interception, which basically you turn around for Saquon, boom, popped right up in the air. Oh, I was just losing my mind. But, yes, players were looking soaked up and down the East Coast yesterday, no doubt about it. So, Monday Night Football, what are you going with tonight? Do you have it figured out? Did you finalize?
Yeah, so I played, I'm all over, I love James Cook tonight. I think the over rush yards, I think the over longest rush, Donnie, are great numbers for him. But I wanted to get your thought on another jet bet I made. I took Lazard over 36.5 receiving. If all we hear about is how much Aaron Rodgers needs to have chemistry with his wide receivers, this was his number one wideout last year, had 40-plus receivers in 11 of 15 games he played last season. Now, I know he's not going to be his number one this year, but I'm not paying for him to be his number one. I'm paying for him to be his number two. And if you go back to when, you know, Devontae Adams was in Green Bay 2 years ago, Alan Lazard wasn't even clear number two. MVS only had 5 less targets than him on the season. So keep in mind, Lazard here, who I think should be a clear-cut number two option, Donnie, in this passing game, I think 36.5 is a little light here for a first game for Aaron Rodgers and still a brand-new football team.
Yeah, I think he's throwing tonight. Like, I think they're going to throw more than run. I think Josh Allen is going to be the player of the game tonight overall, because I do think, as I said, a chance to lead the actual game. If there is, let's just say some rain comes into it, he's going to be the de facto running back again, which he seems to always be, even though they tell us, like, oh, he's not going to take that many hits, and we tell him to get down, and we're not calling any quarterback runs. This guy's like your fullback. It's like Taysom Hill all over the place, but actually a legitimate quarterback out there. So, Monday Night Football should be fun tonight. We'll see it play out. Keep an eye on those weather conditions. Some surprises from Sunday. Has to start with Cleveland. Not that Cleveland won the football game. We were on the telecast yesterday. Like, you know what? Maybe the Browns got this thing at home. Line was a little bit fishy. I don't want to say that because we knew what we were going to get out of Joe Burrow. Nobody did. He was fine to play. Didn't get hurt in the game. To see him throw for under 100 yards and the Bengals to score 3 points, that was pretty shocking.
It was stunning. Stunning. I'm someone that's high on the Browns. I'm someone that liked the under. And none of that made sense. 82 passing yards for Joe Burrow? I can't even comprehend that. Like, it's like, you try not to overreact to week one, but sometimes things are so bad you have to be like, well, hold on a minute now. Like, how does that happen? Like, pass rush obviously was getting home, not on the same page, but how much is that, you know, him being hobbled? It's not like they're still returning a lot here in Cincinnati. It's not like he's in some brand new offense or anything, DRS.
Yeah, that the game itself didn't make too much sense because it was sloppy early on. You know, Deshaun Watson, hey, man, great for the win. Yeah, you threw for 154 yards, had one touchdown and one interception. Now, he did run one in. And
like
Nick Chubb, who is the probable best running back in the NFL, 106 yards on the ground, did what he had to do. But that's kind of frightening because when you start to say, okay, all right, game one, no big deal, that is a tough division. You expected the Bengals, even though, again, the line was roughly a pick-em, to beat them. You all of a sudden look up, if you're the Bengals, you know you got this weekend? You're taking on the Ravens on the road. You start 0-2, panic is creeping in.
In division, that's the thing. They started 0-2 last year, right? But they start 0-2 in division, they've already been jumped by Baltimore in terms of odds to win the AFC North. That
Ravens team might check in down to plus 100, maybe a minus number to win the division. I don't remember who Cleveland has next week. I don't know if you know that offhand. I don't know who the Browns have in the game. But could Cincinnati be checked in, Donnie, as the third best team in that division, odds-wise? Oh, that's interesting, too.
That is an interesting game.
Yeah. That is it. Where's that game at?
Steelers, I think it is, it said.
Okay.
Must win for the Steelers. Steelers at home. Dog spot. Well, horrible. And by the way,
is he going to be a dog, actually? How's that game going to get blind? I don't know if they'll be.
They are home.
Awful. They looked awful, the Pittsburgh Steelers, against the San Francisco 49ers.
Hey, let me see where that one game is lined up at. Oh, it's a doubleheader, by the way, next Monday night.
Oh!
Yeah, they're the second game, Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and Cleveland is a minus 1.5 point favorite in that game on the road.
Yeah, Steelers jump off early as the side.
And again, that was the things that we always get a kick out of early in the season is sometimes you lock in on a team. And I honestly liked every single thing the Steelers had to bring to the table this year. Quality offensive line, young quarterback on the way up, superstar caliber running back, good wide receivers and young wide receivers, and that Pittsburgh Steelers defense that just breaks you down. And by the way, T.J. Watt, the 30-7 didn't indicate how well he played, actually, that defensive end. He's an absolute animal. Yeah. But they got shell-shocked. And this was one of the games, Kevin, where I was driving home from the Ocean's Resort. And every update that came on, the 49ers had the football and they were driving. Like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. And that's all statistic, I think, when I got home. Like, the Steelers had, like, 1 yard of offense. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is... I didn't anticipate this because one of those sexy, short little upsets, hey, watch out for the Steelers, you're going to get the 49ers. Boy, was that wrong.
Yeah, it was. I thought as we got closer, the Niners felt like the side in the game, but they jumped over them. They punched that team in the mouth, and look, I don't care,
50-50 carries in the backfield for McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell? Is that what happened, too?
Well, look, McCaffrey was able to pop one, and that's all that matters. I'm telling you, look, I don't know if he's going to win it. There's not a better MVP bet on the board than Brock Purdy, man. Did you see what they did to the Niners division odds, by the way?
No, did not.
Minus 410. After 1 week of football, they jumped them.
Yep, because Seattle was really the only team they thought would catch them. And it's like, whoa, is Seattle just as bad as everybody else when we were starting the season? It is pretty incredible. But so many shocking things and also so much fun to talk about. There's a lot of stuff to go, so make sure you keep the dial here right on SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, what is this?
Oh!
Whoa!
Rolling.
That's a way to do it on Moneyline.
Who requested this?
I don't know. I think JP just threw that in there.
That's tremendous. I like that. Also, I thought this was our last segment. I thought this was a 3-minute shot right here. That just threw me off.
I thought we were
saying goodbye.
Come on now, Kevin.
I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Last segment's up on the deal.
This show goes, it though. Does it was go believable. So
fast. It does. Like, we have an hour to talk, like, the entire NFL slate. And by the way, I missed it. The Philadelphia Phillies are playing right now in the doubleheader. They're getting pounded on by the Braves, 5-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning. I was trying to put together let me just wait till tonight. The first leg, I was going to have, like, a five-team round robin, but it was all, like, all team totals, not players itself. The first leg was going to be Braves over 5.5. So, of course, they have 5-5 right now. We'll see if they can get a sixth runner higher because the Phillies pitchers were really low on the Richter scale today going up against those hot Braves here. But you know what's funny? We talked baseball this morning, and I didn't even really pay attention until I saw like the script this morning. But, man, it's like every day things are changing. But football is such a megawatt superstar. I was like, oh, look at that. Like because I love the Houston Astros, and they're gaining every day. Like, come on, it's 550 now to win the AL West.
Wow.
You have a couple tickets in for them. So cheering them on from afar, I like to say, because nobody's paying attention to baseball at this point. Like, it was so much fun this whole weekend long. And even though the football, technically, Kevin, wasn't all that great, it was just great actually watching football. Now, if I had to say this, and I don't know where this happened or came from, there was a guy, because I gave out over 45.5, and it's like, sell me on over 80 yards rushing for Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
I'm in the car. And I'm just scrolling through my phone, Kevin. I see 6 rushes for 67 yards out of Richardson and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I even got a text or a DM from somebody. Hey, man, awesome call on Richardson. I'm like, ah, man, you know it. I got home, and he had 27 yards. So that's, I don't know if it's score bugs that were going nuts. He'll finish with 40 yards rushing, so he didn't even get to 45. But that's one of those where I saw it, and I was like, oh my God, he's going to get 100. I'm an idiot. I said all week long, he's probably going to get 100 yards, 1,000 yard quarterback, running back slash, and he's got 67 yards in the first half alone. And then I get home, he has 27. Like, I don't know what happened. If it was a long run callback, I have no idea. But those are the worst score bug updates where it's like, you have a bet that you love and it doesn't cash, even though it told you it cashed. And go, oh, by the way, yeah, we must have made a mistake on something. That was a tough scene. So let's start with Jacksonville and the Colts yesterday. I was impressed by the Colts and Anthony Richardson. I thought their front line was beating the hell out of the Jaguars' offense. Jaguars like 0 for 9 on fourth down and 1 yesterday. It was pretty incredible. But yet, they still pulled that game out because why? They got horses, man. At wideout, at running back, at quarterback, and you can afford to make mistake after mistake after mistake against a bad team and still win by double digits.
I think Jacksonville can be best described as a, you know, old school Big 12 team, Donnie. Right? That is an offense-first machine. I think that defense stinks. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson was all of a sudden looked like an elite passer against that team, and you know, the Colts had themselves a lead. They weren't able to obviously hold on to it because overall, we don't think that's a great football team. Rookie head coach against a Super Bowl winner in Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence and co. Give him credit. I thought that was a dangerous spot for them at some point. You know, certainly that game looked like Indianapolis was going to be able to win it outright. Yeah. But one of my takeaways in general, man, is that AFC South, I really do believe, is wide open here. I'd say Jacksonville runs away with it, but I think it's wide open. I really believe that.
Yeah, I was impressed by the way they came back, because that was a game that they could have very easily lost after that fluke. Trevor Lawrence is hit, and running back picks the football up, just is hanging out. They punch it out of his hand, and they run it back for a touchdown, which was wild overall to watch and begin with. But, you know, Travis Etienne didn't have much success all day. Just a freak 26-yard touchdown run, bounces it outside after getting caught up in the middle, and away went the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I was impressed with the Jags. It's what I thought. You know, you take a look and you try to look at the other teams in that division, and it's like, come on now, like the Tennessee Titans. If Tannehill starts one more game, this is why, like, midway through the summer, I joke when, like, he's not there anymore. Wait, Tannehill's still going to be there? Oh, I guess he is. He was brutal against the Saints yesterday.
Yeah, you know, your boy was screaming his head off that the guy needed to be benched. They still lost that game. DRS, we have talked about this. Look, they did, but we've talked about this a lot. The opening schedule for Tennessee is miserable.
Yeah.
The back end's a bit easier. But if Ryan Tannehill gets benched because of an awful start from this team, 1-5, maybe 2-4 even could be enough to do it, you will then be putting either Malik Willis or Will Levis behind one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive lines in football. The Tennessee Titans, I think there is a world that they absolutely bottom out this year. You listen, if you bet them plus the 3, great. Mm-hmm. If you bet them to win a division, if you bet them on a win total, this can go downhill fast. You do not have moral victories, close wins. That is 3 interceptions against the Saints defense that people think takes a step back this year. My goodness, that was ugly.
It was ugly. And by the way, you know what else? If I gave you the crystal ball and go, hey, Kevin, psst, Justin Fields threw for 216. Like, oh, my God, this might be the best bet of my lifetime for the Chicago Bears, because that's a ton of yards for Justin Fields. 38-20 final. The Packers went in with basically a wing T offense and blew the doors off the Chicago Bears. Aaron Jones, 9 carries, 41 yards, 2 catches for 86 yards. I thought Jordan Love had some moxie in that game. Obviously threw 3 touchdown passes, made the reads that he needed to, only took 1 sack, no interceptions, a passer rating of 123.2. And this is one of those games, Kevin. On Monday, my favorite bet of the week was the Packers. I found that they had no wide receivers basically come Friday. I backed off. They still smoked the Bears.
Well, Romeo Doubs ended up playing in that game and catching 2 touchdowns, so obviously that was a big boost for that team. And I think what it comes down to is Matt LaFleur is a really good head coach.
right? Sometimes we wonder, ooh, is that Rodgers? Is it LaFleur? It's a combination. Matt LaFleur's got a great record against the number as a road underdog, and we saw that, or as an underdog in general, and that popped in here again with Jordan Love. I thought they were well prepared for the football game. And look, the Bears are, they're just last year's team. Yeah. That's what they are. They're last year's team. Their quarterback can't throw. Their defense can't defend. That's what it comes down to. And I know you said they threw for 216. A lot of that was junk time. The game had 58 points in it, Donnie. And he barely scraped to 200.
Why did they hire Matt Eberflus? Can somebody help me out with that? Your only goal in this franchise was to get your... like, the goal of every team should be get your offense cooking as fast as possible. And since you are the head coach, you're not leaving for another head coaching job. And they went Eberflus as if he was like, okay... we're going to play really good defense around here, Kevin, and dominate. Man, come on now.
Okay, and look, but, Donnie, so when you're Matt Eberflus, and then your job is to coach defense, and the defense is terrible, right?
Yes.
It's hard to get it past. So if I can jump ahead on something quickly.
Mm-hmm.
How many damn defensive players does this guy need to have a good defense finally? Because Brandon Staley is the single worst coach in this freaking league. My God, they scored 34 points. Get a damn stop. I mean, get a stop. How much talent does that guy need? I saw someone laugh yesterday, said maybe the Chargers will trade for Aaron Donald, and then Brandon Staley could have himself a real defense. The guy is pathetic. And people tell, oh, he goes for it on fourth down at least. Yeah, that's great. That's great. He is supposed to be a defensive-first head coach. He's had one good defensive performance in his career. It was against those Dolphins last year, and Mike McDaniel responded by kicking his ass for four quarters.
Yes, pretty impressive overall, right? You take a look at that game. That was we figured we'd get points in that game, and we got points all over the place. But also, Tua Tagovailoa, the throws that he was making in that game, 10 yards per attempt, which was incredible. And there were a couple throws, Kevin, where the pass rush was bearing down, still stayed in the pocket, stepped up, jogged a little bit, and was launching rockets down the field to Tyreek Hill, who I don't know on turf. If I play in your division, like the Miami Dolphins, I'm making sure we have the highest grass possible every single week that we play this guy. Like, if I have turf in my stadium and they're on my schedule, there's no way we're having turf again. Because that guy is not even fit. When he's healthy, it's not fair. And also leads us into our next point here that we were talking about. The Kansas City Chiefs. You see their wide receiver core right now? They actually had Tyreek Hill. Like, you know what? I don't think we could pay the extra money. When every single player in this league, if you want to keep them, you can in the NFL. And you can circumvent the salary cap any way you want to here. Unbelievable. It was so much. Like, I thought the -3 was the right side, to be honest with you, on the Chargers. I also thought 34 points would be good enough to throw two touchdown passes for Justin Herbert. But they're the king of, we're going to throw the football to the one and then run it in, which was maddening to say the least. But that's what happens. They lost scoring 34 points. That can't happen. That can't happen because that defense is better than giving up that many points.
They got embarrassed. They got absolutely embarrassed. And, I mean, look, as far as the Chiefs thing goes, it's like they won a Super Bowl last year, so it's fine. I just can't believe that, like, legitimately, you have Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. Like, they were all together at one point in time. Like, of course that team was unstoppable. Like, you just look back on it. It's obviously very, very impressive. But now I saw one book, Donnie, they popped two out of the co-favorite to win the MVP award after 1 week.
And the shame of it all is, let's just say you go back and Tua never had a concussion. Sky high on the Dolphins right now. You'd be sky. And it's the same way I said, I couldn't bet them. I couldn't not bet them, right? Because I'm just saying to myself, I can't make an educated guess because I know how it's going to end. You hope it doesn't, but I still think it's going to end a certain way where he's going to miss a lot of time with concussions. Let's hope it doesn't happen. I just think it is. Now, let's talk about 425. Philadelphia Eagles 16-0 at the end of the first quarter. You see a flashed up icon on the screen that goes, hey, by the way, Bill Belichick's been down 4 times, 16 points or more in the fourth quarter. He's won 2 out of the last 3. Like, this game is going to be the biggest blowout of all time. The Eagles somehow, after getting up 16-0, decided that, number one, we don't have to be aggressive. We don't have to pick up first downs. They're going to punt the football down to our 10. We'll move it to the 13, and we'll punt it right back to them at midfield. Sooner or later, catch up. It's 16-14 at the half because the Patriots figured out something of how to beat the Eagles' safeties and the linebackers on any pass they wanted to hear. Thank goodness the Eagles have a great field goal kicker who was launching bombs in the rain of, 56 yards, 51 yards, 47 yards. They win 25-20, but let me ask you something about this. This is where champions are made here. I don't think the Eagles played all that well, but they did win. You needed one first down, Kevin, on your final two drives. The Eagles couldn't get that. If you get a fumble in the first one, which I was losing my mind, the defense comes up with a stop. But then the very next series, you get the one, I think they had the one first down to A.J. Brown on the sideline. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, they just started like handing the football off. And there was one play to Gainwell, which I swear, Kevin, was either a first or second down, where they told him, run softly into the line and go down for like no gain on purpose. I had no idea. And then they went for it on fourth and two, which I didn't really have a necessary problem with it. But I would have been more comfortable with a punt down to the 10 and said, look, man, you go 90 yards at one timeout and beat us for a touchdown, so be it here. They went for it, didn't get it, but still held on. And my goodness, it was within a toe drag of probably losing the football game late.
Look, it was. With that said, though, the Eagles went on the road to New England, covered in week number one, where a lot of people thought they weren't the side and people thought they could be upset, right? Like, there's a I saw one tweet, I think, from Albert Breer, like, Patriots would probably feel better than the Eagles coming out of this game. I'm like, I don't think you know how football works, pal. One team just won on the road in a covering fashion, and the other team. The Patriots had three drives of offensive competence, and that's all it took for them to put up, 20 points. But where were they the rest of those quarters? As somebody that backed the over in the game, and you know how this goes, Donnie, right? Like, it's not apples to apples, but like Alabama, right? Like, they go against a team, they go, look, we can just kick field goals all game. Like, we're not scared of the other team. Like, Philly was not as aggressive yesterday as we're used to because they weren't scared of New England, but they were kicking a lot of field goals and whatnot. Like, they just kind of, they cruised and ultimately got sweaty, but they still won the game.
How about this? Ezekiel Elliott, 29 yards. Terrible football game for you. Unbelievable towards our season total because all he needs is 20 per game. Amazing performance by Ezekiel Elliott. That's the way you get down. It's Monday. It's Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, final segment of the fastest moving hour on the Sports Grid Network, known as Moneyline. Donnie and Kevin, Series 6 on Channel 159, Monday Night Football tonight. I already told you guys to start the show. Look, I'm in on it. I think it doesn't make sense, but trust me, I've had MVPs and all-star games on losing teams, so don't count me out when things don't sound about right. I think Buffalo does win this game tonight, but if I'm looking from a eye-line setup for prop bets, it's going to be the Jets for me. Over 1.5 touchdown passes for Aaron Rodgers, over 10.5 receiving yards for Dalvin Cook, and a Garrett Wilson touchdown. It's basically 9-1, a little bit more than 9, a little bit less than 9-1. 100 bucks plays well over 900 bucks back here. I think that's the way I'm going. Now, the total, Kevin, is dropping. It's at a 44.5. I'm just hoping it doesn't rain tonight. I want a clean game because I think it's going to be so fun to watch these two teams battle. Where are you going tonight?
Yeah, I'm on James Cook, longest rush, 12.5, as well as then taking that over 42.5 rushing yards prop. Josh Allen for 2 touchdown passes, and Alan Lazard as well, 36.5 receiving. That's what I'm in now. Might add some more. Again, please tune in tonight. Game time decisions, 6 p.m. Eastern start time there. We'll go through all the games, not just, of course, with the football, but we'll hit that baseball board. There does look like we've got a couple interesting spots out there tonight on the diamond.
And also, just to get the people caught up here quickly on Major League Baseball, Phillies do have a doubleheader today with the Atlanta Braves. The Braves up 8-4 here in the top of the sixth inning, so easily hitting their team total of 5.5. Ronald Acuna blasts his 36th of the season. Also, looks like Michael Harris went deep for his 15th home run of the season. Keep in mind, like, Michael Harris is a 9-hole batter here. No breaks in that Braves lineup. Major League Baseball card tonight? Yeah, there is. I don't really have too much on that just yet. Maybe I will today, so make sure you follow me at Right Side VP. Follow K-Dub at the Kevin Walsh. This is the way we get down. Tomorrow, we'll be taking a look at this big-time football game that's going to take place tonight in the Meadowlands. Hopefully, we win some money. I want to go to bed tonight, which I know I will, midway through with a touchdown pass already to Garrett Wilson and already have Dalvin Cook over 11 yards. Only see Aaron Rodgers only throw one touchdown because they ran the rest of the balls in. That can happen tonight, and it won't. We're going to cash in money. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning in to Money Line. We will be back tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.